This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNetSpeed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the engineers at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And three lines for you guys. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Now, we did some research here in the studio while we were waiting through the news, and there are devices out there that will convert VoIP back to analog. This is a common issue. I mean, and a lot of people do not want to go ahead and buy a whole new alarm system just because VoIP is a thing. So I put a link out there to a company called Patton. And it describes the exact issue that you would have by going to voice over IP. And then they have these different devices, multi-port FXS type devices that go ahead and hopefully give you what you need. Because Dennis and I were talking, Dennis, your concern was what as far
as... A real live phone system has a certain amount of incoming voltage.
Right.
Okay. And there's a wavelength to it. And it's the alarm board may be looking for that.
Right.
And if it doesn't get that from the adapter that you're using, and the adapter has to be on and it has to supply that voltage 24/7, if it doesn't get that, it may not function.
Right. So it's a cheap check to see if it works. They're not very expensive, these devices. You plug it into your alarm. You go ahead and have it make a dial out over the SIP, over the SIP service, and maybe it works.
It may work. I mean, you know, it... I also saw people looking for specific models of adapters that are supposed to work with alarm boards too.
Yeah.
But this company seems to know the problem better than anybody that I've seen. So,
and again,
there you go.
These incumbent internet providers want you to still use this ancient technology. Oh, you still need us. You still need us for our phone line. No, we don't. You guys have been killing us with the prices you've been charging for your service forever, thanks to the politicians that are in your pockets that didn't want to expand the network at all. I mean, what kind of country is America where we're just now have a great company like GoNetSpeed coming in and giving these incumbents something to think about? It's the year 2022 or one, whatever it is, 2021, and now fiber is a thing finally? Come on. I mean, it's been ridiculous. Our access to the poles, the underground issues. I mean, even GoNetSpeed doesn't want to fight yet for the underground lines.
Right.
You know, the ones that have underground services. They're only dealing right now with getting access to pole neutrality, right? Putting up their services on the poles. Because of all the hurdles and battles you have to fight just to get a single line on a pole. And the fiber is not even big. It's pretty thin stuff. This doesn't take up a lot of room at all.
Right.
All right. So let's get to your calls. We're going to go to our resident groupie, Danny. What's going on, Danny? Danny, you there?
Yes, I am.
What's up, sir?
Well, I can only speak to Dennis this week because I'm still trying to recover from your Matt Lauer patronage.
That was a long time ago.
Well, I'm happy to help you out, Danny. Yeah, what can I do for you?
You guys have a conversation. I'll just step
I'll give you away, Eric.
Okay.
Nothing. I just wanted to know what you thought about Elon Musk, where he had that little Twitter poll when people were bitching he wasn't paying taxes. Should he pay taxes or not? And he sold all that Tesla stock to generate a taxable income event.
I don't care what he does. I mean, he can do with his money whatever he wishes to do.
He can, as long as he's obeying the law.
Yeah.
More power to him, right?
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I just wanted to, you know, if he got a little token or a little doobie point from you.
No. That doesn't matter to me. I mean, he just if he wants to send out a survey as to whether or not he should cash in $1 billion worth of stock, or how many billions did he cash in, I don't care if he does that. Good for him. I mean, if he wants to do it, fine.
Yeah.
Well, now he's paying taxes. And the other thing is, you know, the Starship is ready to go, but the EPA is holding him up.
Right.
EPA?
Environmental survey down there.
Right. It's because the rocket's too big, right?
Well, you know, ever since that the other one of the explosions they had on the first early testing, and a lot of the debris went into the, you know, protected areas where the wildlife protected areas.
Right. Well,
so that gave them the leverage they needed to try to hold them back.
Well, right. Welcome to regulation. You've read Atlas Shrugged, right?
Yep. Oh yeah.
welcome to the world.
You know, and Bezos lost that lawsuit there where he's trying to with the lunar lander. So, you know, I mean, I still think this is, you know, Blue Origin holding up him, trying to hold him back, and everybody else, especially Boeing, since he beat Boeing real bad with the Starliner and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's all. I just wanted to know if you had any opinion about him paying taxes.
Danny, the thing is, so many Americans don't even understand how economics work. I mean, you know, that he had to even do this is silly, right? I mean, if you understand economics, you understand how the tax system works. He didn't have any gains to pay taxes on. He just had on paper.
Right. I know. And, I mean, you know when they're talking about this new multi-billionaire thing where they're going to tax, they're going to put a levy on your assets.
On its value,
you're worth $11.5 billion this year, and you pay 2%.
Right.
Well, you know, market fluctuations. That $11.5 billion could be worth $4 billion next year.
Mm-hmm.
So, do they give you the 2.5 back that they took when it was 11, or do they just then take the 2.5 out of the 4 also?
No, it works the same way your house tax works. They tax you based on some Texas company coming in and telling you what your Connecticut house is worth.
On a particular date in the year.
Right.
And that's it.
And here's pay your tax. Yeah, I don't like that idea either. It just sounds like a really bad one. But it is what it is, Danny.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yep. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Elon Musk. He's a resident groupie and Elon Musk fan, Danny. Let's go to Diane in Southbury next. What's happening, Diane?
Hi, I'm calling for my sister. She has a Mac computer, and it died. And she said that it will, one day just the screen went blank. Mm-hmm. So then she left it for a little while, and then she goes to boot it up. It initially starts, gets about a quarter of the way through it, and then it just shuts itself down. So she is wondering how to get stuff off of it if it doesn't even boot up. I know you guys don't work on like personal computers, but is there anybody reputable out there that you can give me advice on who she could go to for Mac?
Well, the Apple Store. If you're an Apple devotee, that she really should bring that to the Apple Store to see if they offer service like that. That would be my first recommendation.
Okay.
It may be that the computer can be repaired if she can get the computer into recovery mode.
Okay.
I don't know if it can be. I mean, it's a matter of fact, it sounds like it's probably unlikely, but there are tools that can be used to recover a Mac that won't boot, and we can try to get some information out about that.
Right.
Okay. That'd be awesome.
All right, Diane. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, that question about reputable computer folks out there. And if, when it comes to PCs, I mean, we have recommended places like Staples that does have kind of a geek desk. It depends on which staple you go to as far as how good the person behind the desk is. But Apple obviously would be the best there. So Catherine is on the line, but she doesn't want to come on the line, Justin, you said, right? She wants to talk off air. Does she understand it's a radio program? So we have three lines open and Catherine doesn't want to talk to us. So feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. Her question is talking about buying another computer for financial usage. Right. And we do agree with that.
Yes.
You should have one computer that you set aside and only use it if you're going to use it to do any kind of online payments or look up your finances online. You do nothing else with it. No surfing. You need to hold yourself back from having that weak moment where you finish paying your bills and then surf to whatever. No. All you do on that computer is use it for financial reasons. And, you know, a Chromebook works well because a lot of the online services are just using a browser-based connection anyways.
Right.
So that's good.
In a few cases, they may have Chrome OS apps.
Yes.
That they will deploy. You'd have to go and find out if they do. Mm-hmm. And there are some Chromebooks that'll run Android apps. So if there is an Android app that would work like on a phone,
yeah,
it might work on that Chromebook too. It
doesn't look as good sometimes, but
well,
yeah.
Well, true, but those connections can be, at least in theory, a little more secure than just a generic browser session.
Right. So, I mean, that's the direction we'd tell you to take. You know, you want to look at maybe a device that's going to cost you anywhere from $400 to $600. Because believe it or not, those Chromebooks require a lot of processor to do what they do. I mean,
well, they run Chrome.
Which is heavy.
Which is one of the big memory hogs on any computer.
Right.
And it's not like Firefox or Edge are much better either. So,
right.
You know, I say that, but don't fool yourself into thinking, you know, I use another one, so I'm better off.
Yeah.
No, web surfing is computationally powerful,
no matter
how you cut it.
Yeah,
so there's just a lot going on in there.
Get a good processor, get some good RAM, spend what you can there, and again, don't use it for anything else. Just use it to pay your bills, look at your financial stuff, and close it. Don't play solitaire on it or download any games on it or whatever you're going to do. It's not safe. So we're going to step out for a quick break. We had three lines open for you guys. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Get online. We'll help you out. We're here till 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Four lines wide open on this Saturday morning. Usually the 10 o'clock hour is all jammed up. It was reversed today. You guys are keeping us on our toes. So feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC. 522-WTIC are the numbers. And as we wait for your calls, we do have some technology news we wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah. This is really interesting.
Yeah.
TV company, and they also make other things like DVD players and Blu-ray players, different mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of people may not have heard of them. They've been around for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They staked their claim in the industry back in the early '00s when they bought a bunch of television factories that were being closed down or phased out by other companies that were no longer wanted to be in the TV business.
Gotcha.
So they kind of took advantage of that. They had some rough times where some of their televisions early on were crap. And
yeah,
but they're making better stuff now. Anyway,
who's this company?
Vizio. Ah. V-I-Z-I-O.
yes.
Now they've recently gone public.
Really?
So now they have to issue different kinds of financial disclosure reports,
right,
that they hadn't done before.
This is why we know what we're about to tell you,
right? This is why we didn't know about it 10 years ago or whenever,
yeah,
because it was a private company at the time. Mm-hmm. Now, what it turns out that these disclosures have revealed something very interesting, and The Verge has an article about this.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of money that they make selling televisions and other devices is less than the money they make by providing ads on their televisions and by collecting data on your television watching habits.
Amazing.
Yes. In other words, the content and the data collection make them more money than selling the hardware.
Right. And so their smart TVs are collecting whatever you're watching right. through those apps, through their right. main screen. That's amazing.
It is. And it's kind of annoying that a company that you think you're buying their television.
And you're thinking they're putting all their effort into the quality of the TV.
Well, yeah. And to be fair, they're better TVs than they used to be, like sure. I said before. But that isn't what they're really selling you.
No.
They're selling you.
They're selling you.
Or they're
they're selling right, you.
They're selling you to other people.
All right.
And making a fortune on it. Amazing. More than the television.
So obviously Samsung's been in this game a long time. So I would yes. I would suspect they're probably doing
have
the same
to be.
Thing. Yeah.
And Samsung, I mean, they have a huge footprint in Asia, so mm-hmm. they have to be making even more, and I'll bet the disparity is even wider with them.
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow. It used to be what Nielsen, right? They'd pay you to have a box on your TV. I think they'd pay you as a person that would have the box, so you would actually get paid for showing Nielsen what you were doing. Now, right. they just take it. They just right. say, I don't care. We're just going to take that information. You know what? When you turn the TV on, you agreed to us doing it.
Right. And kind of controversial in the business about what Nielsen is doing these days, because their polling operation, which is still doing what it did, mm-hmm. which is... you know, getting these boxes on 1,200 people's televisions mm-hmm. every week, mm-hmm. the information that they're getting is probably not as good as the information that, you know, companies like Vizio and probably Samsung and
right.
whoever else they're collecting.
That's amazing.
So TV stations are wondering why they're paying Nielsen.
I don't blame them.
I don't either.
Yeah, why pay Nielsen? They've gone the way of the dodo. They jumped the shark, as it were. Feel mm-hmm. free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Let's get to your calls. We got Bob in Granby with a question. Hey, Bob, what's up?
Hey, I know this is computer talk, but I've got a cell phone issue.
Yeah, we'll see if we can help you.
Yeah.
All right, so it's a iPhone 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is I'll take a picture, and I'll go to send it to my email, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When I send it to my email, it saves it as an HECI file?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So how do I get it switched over to a JPEG? Because a lot of people just can't open it.
Yes, they can't. They can't. And the reason why I'm latching on to this is because we've had customers send us these HEIC files.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. And
you can't open them.
Yeah.
So it's proprietary Apple.
Yes.
But you probably have a choice to choose to save your pictures
well,
in
right.
that format.
And that's what I'm going to find out for him right now. I'm sure you can change it. So.
Yeah, sir. Because it's clear.
It just recently started doing that. I don't know if it was because an update or what the deal was. But.
Well, yeah, this is the thing.
Yes.
Your phone looked different when it was doing it one way. Apple said, well, we're going to upgrade it. Now your phone's completely different. Just like right. I talked about Elon Musk and his updates of his cars.
Yeah.
You know, you park your car, you approve the update. Well, now all of a sudden the car is a different car after it's updated. You know, who knows? Hopefully it works perfectly. If it doesn't, like we talked about the issue where the car was braking, if you had it in automatic mode, even though it had no reason to brake, that's kind of a scary thing to have happen.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So do you find anything there?
Yeah, there's a couple of articles. I'm looking through to find the best one that's most concise.
All right, so we're going to find an article for you there, Bob, and put the information out on computertalkwithtab.com so you can follow the instructions as to how to tell your Apple device that you would like it to work the way it did before the update.
Right. Yeah. The updates are so great that it's crucial.
Imagine just your computer. This is the problem with our industry. Is that we're sitting as IT people trying to help people with their systems. Every single system is a different soup. It's a completely different configuration. Even though it's running Windows 10, it's got this version of that, that version of this, that version of the BIOS, this version of... It's not consistent. Like, if you're building a door, the door and the hinges and the stuff all works the same.
Right.
The guy who's building the door can pretty much rely on that. We in IT... It's crazy. We're guessing as to where we have to start. It's nuts.
Yeah.
And the really crazy part about this is that Apple made this change to everybody's phones, and nobody even knows it.
Not until you try to share your picture.
And then somebody says, well, I can't view this thing. What did you do to me?
Apple is also, they're supposed to be known as the ease of use company. This isn't very nice, and this isn't very easy for people to understand. So we'll get a link up there, Bob. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks, man.
You got it. So we'll put a link up there for Bob. We have a half an hour to go here. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Round. So feel free to get online through the news, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we talked about is posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And, of course, we are podcasted, like every show here on the station is podcasted. So if you want to subscribe to our podcast over at the Odyssey app, go over to WTIC.com and click on that and get our podcast. I'll be right back. And we are back. Oh, there we are. No, wrong. I'm not sure what he's playing now. He's still training. We're working on him. This is Computer Computer Talk with Tab. It is Limelight. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. And feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. Now, I just heard that UConn's playing Clemson, so I think we should probably give a little moment of silence for UConn football. Just to they're going to have probably the roughest day. Just a moment here for UConn football. Okay, that's enough. Ay, ay, ay. I feel so bad for those guys.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and they're going down there. I mean, that's going to be a whooping.
Yeah. I
mean, good luck.
They're going to get creamed on the field, and the fans are going to trash them up one side, down the other.
I think they're getting paid at least probably to go. I think Clemson probably paid them as a punching bag, but my goodness. Why would you say yes to that? All right, let's go to your calls, get back to Computer Talk, and we're going to go to Joanna in Windsor Locks. What's going on, Joanna?
Okay, I have a junk email, and do VPNs warn you of something you shouldn't do? This junk email, if I haven't turned on my VPN, it says forbidden.
So it's telling you you can't use this junk email because it's forbidden when you are connected via a VPN? Hmm. I've never heard of that before. I don't understand it.
What service or what is the source of your VPN? Is it something like NordVPN or something like that?
Proton.
Okay. We like Proton, so that's a good VPN service.
Yeah.
And it's saying you can't use this junk VPN. It warns you when you're trying to use.
A huge sign comes on the screen that says forbidden.
Interesting.
They could theoretically be blocking something. Sure.
Now, I don't know why they would, though. What? It's none of their business, is it?
No.
I don't know why. I don't know that they would be the email police. And saying that you can't send, you're trying to send or receive an email.
I just wanted to see what was in that email.
Huh. Oh, you're trying to open an email.
The entire list under that email, that specific email address.
All right. So you're trying to view all of the emails that are on this address.
Right.
And then
when the VPN is on, it's the big forbidden comes on the screen.
Then this isn't the VPN doing it, I don't think.
No.
I think it's the mail provider that's doing
it.
The mail provider is saying, wait a minute, you're not where I think you're supposed to be.
Right.
Because the VPN is designed to conceal where you're surfing, what you're doing, right? So it's and make it more private is what it's designed to do. And the email provider that you're using is saying, well, you're using something that obfuscates who you are, where you are, and we're not going to let you open this email because we don't allow that for whatever reason. That could be part of their requirement that you can't open and do things within a VPN. Some services do block that.
Yes.
What is the mail service, if you don't mind us asking?
The junk one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Cox.
Okay, so that's interesting that Cox wouldn't allow you to use a VPN through your email. I would think they would. That shouldn't be something they would block, right? Because using an email through a VPN is completely normal practice.
Right. I wouldn't think that they would, but you never know. It's possible that they've had trouble with someone using VPN access to get into their email hosting so that, you know, bad guys, I mean.
Right.
So that their identities are obfuscated to Cox.
Right.
And then Cox can't, you know, figure out who they are and go after them for it. But I don't want to say that that's what's going on.
Right.
I'm just kind of completely
guessing. Are you using a browser to get to your Cox email?
I guess so.
So you're using the beach ball, you're using the little fox around the world, you're bringing up a browser, right?
A little blue E.
Yeah, and you're logging into your email through a browser. You're not using a mail client like Outlook or...
No.
So you're using a browser. So I bet you if you did it through a mail client, they wouldn't stop you. They're stopping you because it's a browser coming at the system from an unknown source.
Right.
And they want to know at least where you are. To probably protect you, really, like Dennis is saying, the bad guys, try to use these methods
to protect themselves too.
Right. So I bet you, if you did it through a mail client, do you have any kind of mail software on your computer?
Do you have
Outlook? You probably have Mail. What version of Windows 10?
Well,
actually, I have Proton.
Yeah, Proton Mail, but it's fine. But do you have a mail program, which is part of Windows, your operating system? Mail. It's probably called Mail. You haven't used it.
It's just Cox. That's it.
Okay. So you have to configure your Windows 10 mail software there to actually log into Cox and go that way. They won't block that. That I'm certain of.
But see, if I forget to turn on the VPN, I can get into it.
Right. Because the Cox is like, okay, you're Joanna in Windsor Locks, and that seems like a legitimate location, and they're going to let you have your mail.
Okay. I get it. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Joanna. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
She was trying to figure out what's going on. So were we. But you should be able to send and receive email through a VPN. Most of our thinking is always going to be with a mail client like Outlook or some sort of software where it's just going to go ahead and tunnel through your VPN. It's going to poke out in Saskatchewan or whatever. And then it's going to go talk to the Cox server and say, send me my mail. And it's going to go back through the hole it just produced through Saskatchewan and come back down to your VPN and give you your mail. But when you're browsing, there might be some sort of security protection in place that Cox is offering, saying, I don't want some crazy IP address accessing our mail system. That could make sense if you're doing it browser-based. So feel free to get online, guys. We have four lines open for you on this Saturday morning, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. You want to bring up any more news there, Dennis?
Well, Comcast had a problem a few days ago.
Yeah.
And we certainly heard about it at TAB.
Oh, my
gosh. For darn sure. Yeah. And the funny thing about it is, out of all the stories that were written about it, have you heard an explanation?
No. It was a pretty big outage.
It was very big. We thought it was just in like Connecticut and New England, but then it turned out to be hitting Chicago, Philadelphia, and it even hit the West Coast.
Wow.
Yes. The Bay Area.
Wow. Interesting.
The country's tech hub. Comcast was out in the Bay Area for at least a couple hours.
Yeah, many thousands. We got deluged with calls.
Yeah.
TAB.
And we also had some customers that had other ISPs. And the only thing that we can think of is that there was some kind of carriage agreement in their town where Comcast was handling that traffic for the ISP.
And they went down too.
And they went down too because that went out. I have an article from the San Francisco Chronicle about it.
Yep.
And it's reported on from their angle.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I say that is because I think it's pretty important when the country's tech hub has an outage this big and this bad that lasted for at least a couple hours,
right,
if not more.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even get an answer as to how long this outage took place.
I think it was a guy from Airplane who actually pulled that plug. Remember that?
Oh, right.
Somebody pulled a plug or somebody changed the configuration.
And then what is it? Lloyd Bridges, he picked the wrong day to stop sniffing glue.
That's what was happening there in the old Comcast IT department, I guess. Who knows? But we won't know. They're not telling us what happened. It was a massive outage. So you'd think there'd be a little more information on this by now, explaining what happened. Something right. Like when Facebook went down for 2 hours, there's all sorts of explanations, and we realized how big of a silly problem it was. They right. locked themselves out of their own system doing an update.
Right, and even though that happened to them, they got back in relatively quickly, considering the trouble they had in order to recover from it.
Right, and explained it.
Right.
We think
Comcast... Comcast, the best we ever got from Comcast was they admitted they had an outage.
Right, and they actually own NBC.
Right, and there were NBC articles about it.
Yeah, but just saying that, there was an outage.
There was an outage.
Oh, boy.
Okay. At any rate, I'm going to post this article from the San Francisco Chronicle about it, and it points out one of the problems with these ISPs is they don't have enough redundant infrastructure.
Right.
So that when an outage takes place, they can either flip a switch and have another bunch of routers take over, or have it automatically transit over to a new set of routers. They don't have that.
They don't have any elasticity at all?
No. Hmm. Are you?
I thought that's what it was all built on,
Eric,
the cloud.
Oh. That would cost them money.
Yeah, well, they charge enough.
So, we know that. But.
Yeah. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. AJ, hang on. We'll get to your call after the break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. There we go. Justin's getting the hang of it. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. Then Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. So 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We're going to go to AJ first in South Windsor. What's cooking, AJ?
Good morning. Hey, I listen every Saturday while I'm on my walk.
Nice.
So, and I consider being on standby when you talk about saying you have to stop and talk about your kids.
Yes, there you go.
This may be a little off topic, but I'm looking for a machine that I could just put in a VHS tape on one side and get a burned DVD or flash drive out of the other side. I have a VCR somewhere in the basement. I don't want to be bothered with it. I don't want to be bothered with cable. I think I have so many of these tapes that if I send them to a service, I could probably buy two machines, but all I want to know is, do you have a recommendation for a simple machine?
They do exist. They're probably not as simple as you think they are. I am looking. Did you find anything yet, Dennis?
There's an article on it from B&H Photo in New York.
Yeah.
And they do sell a couple of these things.
What is it? V, Victor, N, Nancy, H?
No,
B is in boy.
B is in boy, and ampersand H, and then photo. It's a very, very, very famous and enormous camera and electronics store in New York City.
Okay. Yeah. Say again the initials.
B as in boy, and H as in Harry.
Okay.
And looking right now, you can go on Amazon's got, Sony's got a device that'll do VHS to DVD. So, I don't know, though. It's, it just seems kludgy. It's going to be a lot of work. But.
Yeah, well, when I went on Amazon, I got a bunch of kits and stuff with devices to hook up with all this. And the assumption was that the video already existed on the computer or on the VCR. But I'm way beyond that. And these are just videos of games for my kids and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And if I use a service, I'm going to wind up probably paying more than what a machine would cost.
Maybe. Well, you should check out Legacy Box. I think they do it. I'm not sure how they price it exactly, but it could be by the size of the box. But they do offer, from what I understand, a pretty popular service that does do all this work for you. You know, it's up to you if you want to go that route or spend all the time doing the conversion yourself and then taking a look at it. I don't know that I would spend that much time doing that. I have a lot of DVDs and stuff from my kids were little as well, like tapes and what have you. And
now, is there any specific designation for the DVD itself? Like, is it DVD-R or L or whatever?
Yeah, so you'll have to get a recordable DVD, and you'll need to find the device that'll support the size of the DVD. You know, they've got different layers of DVD.
Yes.
There's also Blu-ray, which is even more storage. If you can get one that goes from VHS to Blu-ray, you'll be even better off because it'll store more. But I don't envy you, AJ, in what you're going to try to attempt. It's going to take a long time.
As a rule, random DVD players, just of whatever sort you want to use to play these things, are more likely to handle DVD minus R than they are to handle DVD plus R. But it's a general rule, and it's not universal.
Right, because when you get the thing produced, then you go to somebody's house to try to play it, their DVD player may not be able to run it.
Right, but if it were me and I was converting all these tapes, I would convert them to DVD-R, not DVD-plus-R.
Okay. All right. Well, like you said before in the program, there's so many different variations on things that supposedly are the same.
Yes. And there's even dual-layer DVDs, too. Which will work on most, current DVD players.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, and I'll be listening again in the coming weeks with other standby questions about so that you don't have to talk about your kids.
Thanks, AJ. AJ's helping us out. We do appreciate it. Thanks, AJ.
Right.
Bye. Yeah, you know, it's a beautiful sunny day. You guys are out there dealing with the leaves. I understand that everyone's got a computer problem at the top of their mind. Now, Dennis wanted to talk about something that happened. You wanted to bring up what happened to you.
Yes. I have a story. Someone tried to get into my eBay account.
Uh-oh.
Okay?
Yep.
I'm sitting at home. I happen to have my phone in my hand. I happened to look at an email that had just come in, and it was a notice from eBay saying that there had been a change to my account.
You said,
I said,
why.
Yeah, I wonder what that's about. So I log into my eBay account, and I can't get in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I could get in. I'm sorry. I can get in, and I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So I go back to the original email to see what was done.
Right.
Before I get there, I noticed that there's another email that had come in just before I had gotten into the account, and it said that eBay had locked down my account for suspicious activity.
Oh, nice. So they did a good job.
And it was within 2 or 3 minutes of the original email, so they got it quick.
That's awesome.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I went in. First thing I did, I changed my password.
Right.
I also set up two-factor authentication on the account, and it turns out that the thing that the bad guy had done to trigger the alert was that he had logged in from Tampa, an IP in Tampa, and he had tried to make me an eBay seller.
Interesting.
And that was the thing that they said, wrong IP address for this guy, and he wants to sell. Nah.
Suspicious.
We're not going for that.
Good.
So the lesson learned is pay attention to accounts that you don't normally pay attention to or don't use frequently because they can be used against you.
Yeah.
Imagine, be real careful.
Imagine some poor person getting sold some piece of junk and it's on your name.
Right.
So very good. All right. We want to thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything live. I want to thank Justin, our producer over there, for doing his best, and he's getting trained up. Thank him very much. And again, you guys are the best. We appreciate your calls, and keep us on our toes. Stick around. Dr. Leslie's going to be up next with Healthy Rounds. And next week, we've got the IT Pro TV guy back. Wes will be back, and he'll talk about how you can become a geek too, because as Dennis will say,
remember, we want you to become geeks too.
See you next week.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.